Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Dark Spectrum. Last week we read, I went back down the hall, wondering if I'd missed something and rechecked the rooms I'd passed earlier. All the rooms were empty. Stopping at the entrance to the apartment, I thought long and hard before returning to the living room. I had assumed that a door on the far side was a closet, but I guessed it led to another bedroom. I put my ear up against the door, but heard nothing. I turned in place looking for anything I might have missed. Other than another door in the kitchen that probably led to a pantry, this was the only place for them to have gone. I eased the door open, turning the handle an inch at a time. Martinez was gagged with his hands tied. An Asian woman sat at his side. The three remaining members of the Diagon team all looked at me with guns pointed my way. "Come in, Jake," Mike said. "We have been waiting for you." And now, Episode 17. "You're a murderer, Jake," Cherry yelled through my earpiece. My finger tightened on the trigger of my Glock. My headset was on mute, so she hadn't heard Mike's words coming through my microphone. "You took away the only father I had." Frank laughed as if in response to what she had said. I should have felt anger at Cherry's betrayal, but couldn't summon the energy. I had known the risk, but still I had come. I felt sorry for her. She was a decent person who, like Jim, was another one of Beltran's victims. So much waste. Her words danced in the back of my mind as I scolded myself for being a fool. Mike snarled, "Drop your gun, murderer." I kept my pistol up, pointed straight at his head. It was the reason I wasn't dead yet. I was tired of people calling me a murderer. Beltran had deserved to die for all the lives he had ruined. If he'd got to the rifle first, he would have taken the rest of us out. Cherry had been there. She'd seen him run for it. I growled more at myself than at him. One of the things I wish I would have thought about before killing Beltran was the fact that he had made it his life's mission to train killers. This was not the first time during the last 6 months I'd had an old recruit of his seek me out for revenge. I choked back a sarcastic comment as I took a deep breath to calm my racing heartbeat. Speaking out of turn was a good way to wind up dead. I didn't want to provoke them. Martinez glared at me, his stare fiery enough that I almost took a step back. The woman's eyes were wide, but I noticed resolved as well. She seemed to take her situation pretty well, considering she was bound and gagged. "How many can I take with me?" I wondered, staring at Mike, who I knew to be the strike team leader. He looked to be a bigger concern than Frank at the moment. His face was contorted into a scowl, while Frank looked relaxed, happy even. "How many could I take with me?" It was natural to wonder, but the question made me angry. They didn't need to die. None of us did. We were in our relative positions because an evil man had kidnapped each of us and turned us into soldiers for the wrong cause. Mike's pistol was a silenced HK, but I could not identify the silenced weapons Julio and Frank were using, mainly because I kept my focus on Mike's head. All three of their pistols were leveled at me. I set my jaw, not giving them the satisfaction of seeing me frustrated. I'd known this was a possibility, but I'd still gone along with it. How big a fool was I? A mighty big one, but that was no reason to give up. As long as I drew breath, I had a chance to find my way out of this. "Drop your gun," Mike said, his teeth bared and the muscles of his neck tense. "Face your fate." He was a scrawny fellow, with little muscle. That didn't matter because he was freakishly fast and nimble. When I'd sparred with him in practice, it had been difficult to keep him pinned down on those few times I had gained the upper hand. I focused on my sights, aiming at Mike's head. I knew he wore body armor. While I had armor-piercing bullets, I wasn't going to take the chance. The part of my forefinger touching the trigger began to itch. Perspiration formed. "Beltran was a good man," Mike said, "one of the best." "A matter of perspective," I said. "The game's up," Julio said. "Drop it." He crossed the room and jammed his pistol into the side of the woman's head. I winced at her muffled yelp, but did not make a move. I now had two guns pointed at me. The odds had improved, but were not great. Martinez's glare switched from me to Julio. He lunged despite his bonds, and Frank pushed him back onto the bed again. "She'll die if you don't," Frank said cheerfully. Julio was a decent man. I had a hard time believing he would kill the woman in cold blood. It was not like him. It was a bluff. Perhaps that was why Frank was barely able to contain his laughter. If it had been Frank with a gun to her head, I would have been more afraid. The man wasn't capable of empathy and only looked out for himself. "Beltran kidnapped you," I said. "All of you. He created contrived situations to push us down a life of crime and murder, claiming all the while we worked for a black operation of the government. You know now it's a lie. You're working for Daigon." Mike shook his head. "You're wrong, Jake. We get our orders from Washington." "You've seen them?" I asked. "We didn't come to talk," Julio said, jabbing the woman in the head with his pistol again. He didn't look any closer to pulling the trigger. I should have been relieved I'd read the situation correctly, but the adrenaline coursed through my body at an ever-increasing rate. Every time he hit her, it made my finger that much tighter on my trigger. "It's not too late for any of us," I said, each word carefully. "There's no reason for anybody to die. I can procure the evidence you need to know the truth." Julio snickered. "Your evidence came from this liar." He backhanded Martinez while keeping his gun pointed at the woman. "It's poetic we get both of you at the same time. I'll not warn you again. This girl is going to die." Frank shifted his gun to Martinez. "You know I won't hesitate to kill Martinez, Jake." Now it was only Mike with a gun on me. He didn't appear to notice how things had changed in the room. There was a gasp on the other side of my earpiece and a click as if Cherry had muted herself. Mike, Frank, and Julio all winced as if somebody had screamed in their ears. I fired my pistols. I stepped back and out of the doorway, moving to put the wall between them and me. My last view was of Mike with a small hole in his forehead. Everybody else in the room had frozen for the split second it took to process I'd actually done what I'd done. I backed up against the outer door of the wall of the room as bullets hailed through the doorway and the wall where I'd stood moments before. I'd prayed one of the shots had not been into the woman's head. I would have a difficult time forgiving myself if she died. Martinez would too. He wouldn't stop until one or the other of us was dead. Blood tore through my veins like a flood. I could scarcely believe I had killed a former teammate. They would have shot me if I surrendered. If it wouldn't have been for the woman, I might have tossed my grenade into the room and been done with all three of them. "You're gonna pay," Julio yelled as several more bullets sailed through the wall. Some of them smacked into the refrigerator. It had a half a dozen holes already. The microwave door had been shattered as well. I could hear movement, but could not pinpoint what was going on. I went to my knees and crawled toward the center of the room, navigating around Jim's remains. I had a feeling if we got out of this, Martinez and I would no longer be on speaking terms. "Murderer," Julio yelled, his voice savage. "Take your judgment like a man." I wasn't certain, but I thought I heard Frank laughing. The man was mad. I inhaled, the breath coming into my lungs like an avalanche. What was I going to do now? If it had just been Martinez, I would have just walked away, if only to spite Cherry. I knew her well enough to know she'd regret setting me up, and if anything did happen to Martinez, she would never forgive herself. Beltran had chosen poorly when he had recruited her. I shook my head, discouraged none of the other recruits had believed me about what Beltran had done to us. I'd thought Cherry, Shannon, and Tom would come around. They'd been in the room when I'd confronted my adopted father's killer. They'd seen him turn to Beltran for help and not get it. How could there be any doubt? They had so much evidence but refused to see what was right in front of them. If I left now, I didn't know what they would do with Martinez's girlfriend. I doubted she was involved with his criminal dealings, but even if she were, she did not deserve to die. Cursing under my breath while shaking my head, I looked around the room. I needed a way to draw them out. I couldn't think of a way to use my grenade that wouldn't put Martinez and the woman in danger. Reinforcements would arrive soon if they weren't already on site. Keeping an eye on the door, I crossed to the kitchen and sighed when I saw the stove was electric. I'd had a half-cocked idea of turning on the gas and letting it fill the room in hopes they'd smell it and flee. I was relieved. I may have been angry, but flooding this place with gas was about as stupid a thing as I could possibly do. I spotted a phone and was surprised to see the place had a landline. I could call the cops and say I had heard shots. It would be risky because I'd called in the Market Street bombing. If it was discovered the same person had reported them both, it was a matter of time before they pinned it on me. The less blame on me, the better. It would not be long before the police were using Spectrum if they weren't already. I let out a breath and thought through the situation. It was obvious what I should do. If they hadn't killed the woman already, they weren't going to. If she was dead, I couldn't help her. I didn't need to continue the fight any longer than it took me to escape. I had no pony in this race. I didn't want to see any more of them die, even Frank. There was no reason for me to be here. I could just walk away. But first I would give them something to think about. I took out my flashbang grenade, pulled the pin and tossed it into the bedroom. It made a plunking sound. Grenade! I ran to the hallway crouching. A shot was fired, but it came nowhere near me. Before they could fire another, I was down the hall and out the apartment. After a brief silence that seemed to last forever, the silenced shots started again, but by that time I was already going down the stairs. I pulled out my burner phone. My connection with Cherry was still active. I suppose she'd left it that way just in case she learned something useful. Putting the call on hold, I dialed 911 and pitched my voice high, trying to sound like a woman. When I had called in the Market Street bombing, I'd gone lower. Hopefully no one would connect the two. In any case, after tonight, I was going to trash this burner phone. Shots on the fourth floor over Benny's Diner. I said nothing more, disconnected the call and ran downstairs. I wondered if the waitress had called for help as I went through the back door and found myself standing in the alley where I'd been when this had all started. I took Cherry off hold. I'm coming for you, I said to her. Tell Peck I'm coming for all of you. I hung up before she could respond.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.